This call is now being recorded. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, to the legal sub-team coordination call with the legal, with the law firms that have been engaged to provide advice to the CCWG on enhancing ICANN accountability. We're partially, some of the team is in Istanbul, some of the team is elsewhere in the world. And I see in the Adobe Connect room we have Avery Doria, David McCauley, Greg Shatton, myself, Leon Sanchez, Robin Gross, and Samantha Eisner. And here in the room we have, Samin Meyer, Athena Frakuli, Edward Morris, Mike Clark, Holly Gregory, and Alice Jensen, and of course, Cheryl Langdon.
Hi, Holly. We haven't made the background. It's the prank. We're done with that.
It sure does.
Nice to meet you.
We are supposed to have also someone from the team of Adler and Colvin. I would expect that we would be happy
here.
This is Rosemary or...
That was Stephanie. This is Greg Colvin.
Rosemary's here.
And Stephanie and Colvin Chiodini.
Excellent. Thank you very much for being here with us. I wasn't aware that you were already in the phone bridge, but, well, you're most welcome, of course. And the agenda is partly begun. We have had our roll call, and now I'd like to set a couple of ground rules for us to work together. For starters, I think that all communications should be public. We have set up a mailing list, which is a public archive mailing list. I don't know if you have already have the chance to get the address for that mailing list. If that's not the case, we'll make sure that Alice here will provide everyone in this call with the appropriate information for us to be able to post to that mailing list. This mailing list will be, of course, in some way moderated, not in the way that anything is going to decide what goes into the mailing list or doesn't, but in the way that some of the people that are subscribed will have posting privileges, and the rest will have only observing reading privileges. This is meant for us to have a better way of managing conversations instead of having 160 people posting to the mailing list and, of course, communicating with the law firms. We would like to have, as we discussed in our meeting today, a compact executive team, let's call it that way, that will be the ones that will be interacting with the law firms, as decided in our meeting today. And I think that practically all of the executive team of the legal sub-team, if we might want to call them that way, is either here in this room or in the Adobe Connect. So for the law firms that are kindly enough to be here with us and joining remotely, now you have the names. And, well, of course, we'll make sure that you have the short list of names that will be addressing to you so you can identify the incoming emails easily. And another ground rule that I would like to set is that, of course, all communications, as I said, should be made through the public mailing list in order to avoid any misunderstandings. All communications with the CCWG should be made through the public list. I would also like to call to abide to the ICANN expected rules of behavior. If you haven't gone through them, I will make sure that you have them available. These aren't complex rules. It's just set of rules that is supposed to guide us to better communicate, understand, and of course respect different ways of communicating amongst us. The communications between the CCWG and the law firms should be carried out only through the legal sub-team. This means, as the engagement letters state, that no individual outside the CCWG legal sub-team should address directly the law firms. And if that should happen, then we would like to be, of course, noticed that such communications are taking place. And then we will take, of course, measures to see how we address. One question that was raised before this call by Holly was that we are aware that the relationship between Adrian Colvin and Sidley Austin is an ongoing friendly relationship, which is good for us, because since you guys have already had a history together in different aspects, that should make easier for us to coordinate the work between both law firms. And as I said, the question raised was if it was okay for them to have maybe private meetings between them to coordinate. And, well, my experience as a practicing lawyer is that that would be desirable. Yes. So you can, of course, fine-tune any advice that you will be giving us. As I said in the chat today, when you just throw in a problem to five engineers, you get out with five solutions, and when you get a problem thrown into five lawyers, you get five different problems.
Maybe
so, 25.
Or maybe 10.
Paying invoice.
I'm being condescending with us. I'm a lawyer myself, so. Yes, Holly.
If I may, we're really looking forward to working with the firm, and I think it's wise to let us have some private communications so that we can tee things up for you that are a little bit more coordinated. You don't want to hear two voices. You want to hear people speaking from the same, as they say, singing from the same hymnal.
That is absolutely correct. And, well, of course, we'll iron this out in our working methods following scope of work. And, well, I think those would be the basic ground rules to follow. I don't know if anyone from the legal sub-team would like to add any ground rules that I might be missing so far. If that is the case, please speak now, or how do you say?
Forever hold your peace.
I'm sorry, Holly. Yes.
I just want to clarify one rule that we also understand as a really basic ground rule, which is that even though we are getting paid through ICANN, our advice is directly to the committee. Our directions we're taking directly from the committee. Mm-hmm. Full stop.
That is correct, Holly. Thank you for clarifying that. The engagement letters are drafted so that they address exactly what you say. While ICANN is the client has instructed you to receive only questions and refer only to the CCWG with advice that will, of course, allow us to go forward. I see David McCauley's hand is up, so please, David, could you take the floor?
Thank you very much, Leon. And I, in the chat, speculated an answer to Robin's question about the action item inquiry about what does it mean, the short list of names to be sent to the lawyers. And so I just wanted to confirm what exactly that is. Thanks very much.
Thank you, David, for raising this. And the short list is meant to be those who are present at this call right now. Those are that is a short list, the short list of names, which is those members that have been already active in the legal sub-team. As we discussed today in our meeting in the morning, we have maybe some 26 members in the legal sub-team, but we have only five or six of us that have been actually engaging and being active in the team. So So those five or six, which I would say that are the ones that are present at this call, are the short list that we would be sending to the lawyers so they can identify who's who and how we're going to interact with them. Does that address your concern, David, and answers your question, Robin?
Takes care of mine.
Okay.
Thanks, Leo.
Excellent. So I see now Greg Shatton hand is up. Could you please take the floor, Greg?
Thank you, Leon. Greg Shatton. Sorry I can't be in Istanbul with you, but I'll be in Istanbul with or without you in about 24 hours or so. In any case, one other kind of working method or rules of engagement that we had set up for the CWG client committee, and I think this group is already honoring it, but I wanted to mention it anyway, is that all calls should take place in Adobe Connect. Unless it's one-on-one calls between, say, a single lawyer and a single member of the client committee, and that calls should be recorded, all the usual transparency tools should be used, and that even when there are calls that are off Adobe Connect because they're, say, one-on-one, there should be some kind of a record of what went on. It doesn't need to be a transcript, but at least it could be equivalent to a timesheet entry about at least what went on, who was on the call, what was, one sentence at least about what happened, just so that there's ongoing transparency. We've certainly had the transparency police out in force on our list, and it's important to honor the classic tools. One other point that's not a general tool but a specific thing, and I think we're at least trying to honor that in the CWG client committee, is that all instructions or requests for a particular item of legal work should be in writing and on the client list or on the committee email list, the legal subteam mailing list. That way there's kind of no confusion about whether or not a particular memo was asked for, a particular person showing up at a meeting was asked for. There's a record of it. I think, also just a good way to kind of keep track. And even more important, given that we have a more heterogeneous legal team to coordinate. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg, for raising this. That's definitely one ground rule that we need to follow. And I would say that in ideal situations, or if everything goes as planned, there shouldn't be the need ever to have a one-on-one call. I mean, that would be extremely weird. And I would think that the only situation that I foresee that could lead us into a one-to-one call that wouldn't be recorded is just an extremely urgent matter. So, yes, all calls should take place over the Adobe Connect and should be recorded. I definitely agree with that. And let's see. I don't see anyone else raising their hand. I just want to raise what Robin is saying here. Yes, and any follow-up clarifications to that request. Yes, one of the ground rules is exactly to have all communications through the public mailing list. So I think that should address that. So any other ground rules or any other questions with regards to the ground rules so far? Nope. Okay. I see Greg Colvin has his hand up. So, Greg, could you please take the floor?
Hello, everybody. We are no doubt the latest to join this grouping. And one of the things, of course, that we will need, because as Holly said, our responsibility, our legal relationship is with the CCWG, which I gather is a larger group, obviously, than the legal subteam. And I'm sure the CCWG has a chair and so on. it would be good for us to know what its composition is, for at least the reason of being able to identify the players. I understand that the legal sub-team, correct me if I'm wrong, is a subset of the CCWG. And at the beginning of the call, I heard that there was a compact executive team of the legal sub-team, which is, I suppose, an even smaller group. We have communicated with Leon as the chair. I see him referred to as a co-chair. In any case, these particularities may be clear to all of you, but we would benefit by having them clarified for us.
Welcome to ICANN, Greg. No, I mean, seriously, you're right. CCWG is a larger group. Then we have a subset of persons, which is, to give you an idea, the CCWG is comprised of approximately 160 persons, more or less. Then we have this legal sub-team, which is comprised of 20-something, 26, 25. And then the executive legal sub-team, if you may call it that way, which are, as I said previously, six or seven persons that have been actively engaged carrying on the discussions and drafting the legal scoping document that you have in hand. So that is more or less how we are organized. Now, to give you an idea of the profiles or the landscape or the composition of the group, you have people from the business side, from civil society, from technical community, from government. You have people that have non-commercial interests. You have people that have, of course, commercial interests. So it's a very diverse group with very different backgrounds, with very different cultural origins, I'm sorry? You even have Australians, yes. And so it's a very varied community, very wide-open community. So I think that's another challenge to address when thinking on solutions. This the answers or solutions put on the table should be able to address, of course, some cultural and diversity issues as well. So I don't know if that's enough as an introductory note for you, Greg.
Oh, that's an excellent start.
Okay, good. So I see David McCauley's hand is up. So, David, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. I just would like a point of clarification. This isn't a request for a ground rule, but this call that we're on now is the exclamation point for some very long calls starting on Sunday. And for, I think, Robin, Greg, Samantha, and myself, they're calls from a long distance. I would like to ask Holly and Mike and Greg and Rosemary if they could set out how much of the meetings their firm was at, not both of them necessarily, but were the entirety of the call on Monday and today covered, and even going back to a work party 2 meeting that Becky led us in on Sunday afternoon for several hours. Thank you.
So this is Holly. Mike Clark has attended the full set of meetings on Monday and Tuesday here in Istanbul in person. I joined very late in the day today, and I wish I could have gotten here earlier, but I had a commitment in London. I don't believe that we were on the call on Sunday, Mike. I think you were traveling, and we were both in the air. So Monday and Tuesday, from the Sidley side.
Thank you.
And from the Adler and Colvin side, we were not aware of the Sunday meeting. And the Monday, I think we were on remotely for about the first hour and a half, the first session, and then we were directed to drop off, so we did not remain on the rest of that. It was not recommended that we attend last night's, or we would have.
And today, Rosemary, were you on today?
This is Greg. I was on this morning for about an hour. I even surreptitiously entered the chat room. It was a fascinating discussion, and while we did not witness the whole thing, we certainly plan to have one or more members of our team review the entire recording that you have made.
Thank you, and that just helps us figure out what background you might have, and that's really why I was asking. So thanks very much.
Thanks, David. So any other comments so far?
Can I comment on that?
Yes, Mike, please.
And my thought, Greg, was that I could give you a bit of a download from my perspective when I get back on Thursday, because the transcript looks like it'll be a rather imposing document.
That would help, Mike. I don't know if the rest of you know this, but Mike and I have frequently talked about our international representations in the service club area, Mike with Rotary and me with Toastmasters. So we are already conversant in many of the same bylaw-type issues.
Thanks. Here's a suggestion from Robin. She says that it would be worthwhile to review the meeting in its entirety in the AC room. So one of the working methods we have here in ICANN is that we hold the meetings through these Adobe Connect rooms, and those meetings are recorded. So there will, of course, be a set of URLs that we will be letting you know. We'll be putting them handy to you, so you can go to those URLs, and in those URLs you will find each and every meeting that we hold, and in the placeholder for any meeting you should be able to see the transcript, the audio recording, and also the Adobe Connect room recording. Am I right, or am I missing something? That's correct.
I had my hand up. Sherilyn did all the records. But I was going to say, normally, in many meetings, staff also capture the chat.
Yep.
And the chat really is a very important resource and tool because a lot happens in those back channels.
Excellent. So all those resources will be available to you, of course, if you decide to go through the meetings, which is, of course, desirable and advisable. And, of course, if you have questions with that, which I'm pretty sure you will have, feel free to reach out to the legal sub-team, and we'll be glad to provide any guidance. So we say if we don't convince them, we can confuse you. So that's another issue. So this is so far as Grundles has to do. Now I would like to dig into scope of work. Since we are engaging with both law firms, one of the things we would like to avoid is to have duplicate work. So the structure we envisioned to have in working with both law firms is to have Adler and Colvin provide the primary source of advice with regards to governance, corporate governance laws, and of course California nonprofit law. And if I'm misrepresenting or mistransmitting any message from the legal sub-team, please, the members of the legal sub-team, feel free to jump in and correct me. And so we would be working in this regards primarily with Adler and Colvin, but this doesn't mean that we wouldn't be going to Sidley Austin as well at some point, just to double check on some any matter that might sound upward to us from the Adler and Colvin side. So we will be maybe or most likely also going to Sidley and Austin in many cases, just to double check. And this is where these one-to-one meetings might be useful for the law firms to have, just to fine-tune whichever advice is, of course, asked for you to come forward with. And for the rest of the matters, and for the rest of the matters, I mean antitrust law, jurisdiction issues, which other ends that we have set?
International of any sort.
International. So pretty much anything other than California law, et cetera, should be addressed to Sidley Austin. So we recognize that you have many areas of expertise, and that's why we decided to also engage with you.
Point of clarification. You said at the outset, primary advice on corporate governance in California, not for profit. We'd understood that you wanted some of our corporate governance general expertise that transcends California law.
We will be asking advice on that matters to you. So the message here is we will be reaching out to Adler and Colvin mostly for these issues, but when we have a doubt or we require maybe another point of view that doesn't deals merely with California nonprofit, we will reach out to you and we will ask for your advice in that matter. Okay. So I see some. Yes, of course, Mike.
I think. I don't know if Greg and Rosemary and the folks in California know, but we have been working for another group within ICANN, and some of the issues do indeed in that material involve California law. So I take it there is no objection to, again, having a flow of information between the two law firms?
No objection at all. I mean, the information should flow freely. That's what the internet is about. So.
Okay.
So yes.
Just wanted to clarify.
No. I mean,
philosophy, Leon. This is amazing after 2 days.
So, you can see the effect of tiredness. So, definitely information should flow freely between both law firms. I mean, we are a team. We're not competing amongst ourselves. So, just feel free to have this exchange of information between you. And I see some points here in the chat that I rather have. I don't know if someone wants to go through reading the points or should we just raise them. I see Samantha Eisner says or suggests that it should also be clear how the firms are expected to respond to requests that come from those outside of the legal subteam when they are participating on broader calls. Well, this refers to someone from the general group in a call on the Adobe Connect room or maybe on a face-to-face meeting raising a legal question. Should the law firm be able to respond or should the law firm address and reply directly to the CCWG, while the primary channel or the main channel for communication between the law firms and the CCWG should be the legal subteam. When face-to-face meeting takes place, I would suggest, and if there is any opposition, please let me know, I would suggest that when that happens, of course, the legal advice should come in real time in reply to anyone who is raising a concern or asking a question. Yes, Athena?
I think when it comes to like questions, you can address immediately because the answer is very easy and it comes, you know, from the top of your head, absolutely. When the answer requires some more research and so on, I would suggest that then it should rather come from us instead of committing to reply in length to a question that does not come from the legal subject. That would be my suggestion.
I think all questions need to come through the legal subteam. I mean,
yes.
Of course, in a meeting, somebody might ask a short question and have a short response, but anything that's a serious legal advice needs to be something that you have directed that you want us to spend time on. Otherwise,
we can work that out. I think that it comes to my mind that method for addressing that would be just, of course, letting that person that wants to raise any concern or put some questions on the table, of course, voice them, and we as legal sub-team would take note in place and formulate a formal request for advice in the matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can agree on that. And I see Greg Shatton hand this up. So, Greg, could you please take the floor?
Thanks. Greg Shatton again. Just wanted to point out, as it was mentioned, that there are two working groups that are working and that Sidley has already been working with the other group. I am stupid enough to be a member of both groups, or at least a
thank you, Greg.
An official member of that group and a participant in this group, which is a distinction that probably won't make much of a difference. Certain people have been selected by their stakeholder organizations, advisory committees, to be representatives of particular groups or subgroups within them, and other people are participating pretty much of their own initiative. But the working method of both groups is not to make a distinction between those, except when it comes time to have consensus calls or even more rarely votes. So technically I'm a member of the other group and a member of the legal committee over there, which we call the client committee for reasons that are lost in the mists of time. So I'm also kind of helping to coordinate between the two groups and liaising a bit. And I certainly think that with regard to getting any additional depth of knowledge or, you know, on California law issues or nuances that come up that relate to the CWG's work rather than the CCWG's work, I certainly have no objection to that taking place. And indeed, the work of the two groups overlaps and is inextricably intertwined. So the exercise of identifying where the work lies is really more a matter of where it comes from, not necessarily where the assignment kind of the substance of the assignment. On the last point that was being discussed, I think that, you know, if a question, I think I pretty much agree with what was said already, which is that if a question comes up from the floor in a meeting, that can and should be answered in a free-flowing, you know, high-level way. Just to clarify, the other groups I'm talking about are the cross-community working group on the IANA transition stewardship, the IANA stewardship transition proposal, which is a specific proposal about what to do with IANA oversight and accountability and working methods after the NTIA's historical stewardship and oversight goes away. And then there's this group, the CCWG. So I think that if somebody comes up with an assignment, with something that sounds like an assignment, you know, certainly just don't just take it you know, over the transom from all 160 people. I think that there are times when it might seem a little bit stiff to say just, you know, bring that up to the client here, to the legal sub team. It may make some sense, you know, to be flexible and then for the lawyers to turn back to the legal sub team and say, do you want us to pursue this or not? I guarantee at some point somebody will ask you about the origin of ICANN's authority to manage the root zone, which sounds like a question that should come up in the IANA stewardship meetings, but in fact it came up in the accountability thread, and somebody dug up a long paper that was written by the Department of Commerce General Counsel on that subject a number of years ago. I would not, you know, take that ball and run with it, for instance, and it may not be a ball that needs to be taken with and run with ever. But those are the kind of things that, one of the things you'll learn in the ICANN, there are a lot of people here with a lot of history, and a few people have pet issues, and they've been waiting a long time to have a free lawyer to ask to run down those issues for them. So it's a note of caution while, you know, still supporting, you know, flexible working methods. Thanks.
Yes, Holly Gregory has her hand.
Now, from our earlier description around the protocol that we're going to work on, I thought the direction was that the only communications to the law firms would come through the legal subteam.
That's correct.
So that sort of takes care of the issue that we've been about for the last
That's correct. Time. That is precisely to avoid individual free lawyering, free writing lawyers. So, Samantha Eisner has her hand up. I'm sorry for skipping you, but Holly Gregory was so handy that I just couldn't resist. But yes, Sam, could you please take the floor?
I think that the conversation that we've had really has addressed my concerns. It was, again, about that. I was trying to get a little bit clearer, but I think everyone touched on the issues of what happens if requests come up in places other than the client committee itself, and how would those be handled, and I think that there's a really clear path forward. I also wanted to just reiterate here, because we have such a large client committee, and then there's the executive sub-team, I know that one of the action items was to identify those people that that the firms would be looking to give the official assignment, quote-unquote, as clear as we can be for them on that, and make sure that there's agreement within the executive sub-team that certain items are necessary for research. I think that that's an obligation from the sub-team side to have, so that we can be really clear, so that there's no question from the firm, is this something I'm supposed to look at or not? Because sending someone down a path to research something that wasn't actually intended to be sent over as an assignment can be very costly. So as clear as we can be, as to who they would expect primarily in the first instance, any time for assignments to be sent over from, et cetera, I think would be really helpful.
Thank you very much, Sam. I see Greg Colvin has raised the question, if all legal communications go through the legal sub-team, is that the whole group of 25, 26, or the executive group of 6 or 7, and Robin has already addressed the question, and yes, communication should come, I mean, instructions would come from the compact team rather than the larger sub-team. And as we said previously, when face-to-face meeting or calls are taking place, should there any legal questions arise, then what we would do as a legal sub-team, we will take the note on that question and then formulate formal request for advice with regards to that question. Ed, do you want to say something?
No, that was an interesting question we want to take a look at.
Oh, I'm sorry. So does this mean that an executive mailing list needs to be created? I don't think so. I'm not sure. I mean, I would like the thoughts on the rest of the team to see whether that's convenient. My thoughts are that having two different mailing lists might confuse people, and it might be difficult for someone that wants to dig into the history of how we arrived to a certain decision to dig into the information. That might be confusing. So I would rather go with a single mailing list, and of course what we should maybe do in turn is to assign privileges, posting privileges to just certain people rather than having a separate mailing list. So if we agree, if we are in agreement, I would suggest that those that are present in this call from the legal subteam perspective would be the ones with posting privileges to the mailing list. Yes, Athena.
Does that mean that only all these that are the others that are subscribed to this mailing list will not have this privilege, so will not be able to post in this mailing list? I mean, they should be
raised. They're not entitled to that permission. It would be moderated.
Oh, okay. Maybe they should be informed then of this change.
No, we will definitely inform the larger group about this.
Yeah.
And I think this is something that has happened also in the CWG client committee. They address this by, of course, designating a compact team that will be able to post to the list, and the rest of the subscribers will only have reading privileges. So I think we should go the same way, but having just a single mailing list for transparency and easiness sake. So, Alice, could you please take care of that? Assign posting privileges just for those who are present in this call, and we will, of course, notify the larger group about this decision. Yes, Fatima. Yes.
Also, a question. Robin says, is this only about posting? So mainly it's about requesting legal advice. So that's actually a good point, and I would like to reflect on that, because how would the lawyers know that there's actually are in agreement of submitting a request.
Okay, I would say that with posting privileges, we would also be having request privileges. Because, I mean, the whole point of having posting privileges is precisely not to have a big volume of communications amongst different peoples, but rather only those communications that are indeed needed to reach out to the lawyers and request formal advice. So if we agree, I think that posting privileges should also carry with them request privileges. Do we agree on that? I see Sabina has...
I just have a follow-up question. So that would mean that we have to clearly state in the email or something like, I request advice on the following.
That would be desirable in order to
subject line.
Mark the difference between hi, how are you, and hi, how are you from the legal point of view.
also, before
Yes, Holly.
I just want to make sure I understand. I thought we were going to be getting sort of direction and request from a group so that you'd done some internal vetting and not have five or six people who can all just pepper questions.
Yeah.
It's that can get very kind of, you know. Now, frankly, if you're all connected to one another and all following the stream, we found on the CWG it hasn't been an issue because we're having calls where a lot of the direction around what the team wants us to focus on come through. We've also had specific documents sent to us with lists of questions where it's been vetted by the group and then focused. Now, from time to time, in terms of clarifying, that someone might have a clarifying question. And I think that that can be some fair game to say, could you be more clear about it? Those have come through to us through email on which the client committee is all copied. And so it's very easy for us to know, oh, that's a request. It came through. Everybody's copied. So I know it sounds complex at the outset. It works pretty well once you get it going.
And also, I see Greg
raising
his hand.
Yeah, exactly. So, Greg, do you have your waving hand? Could you please take it forward?
Thanks. It's been waving for a while, so it wasn't necessarily on this point, but I agree with Holly that this shouldn't be kind of, we shouldn't all have kind of individual assignment privileges, if you will, those of us on the executive subteam. I think they should be vetted. I think it should be a single person could put out a proposal, if you will, for a request onto the list and seek the assent or comment and assent of the other members of the executive team, or at least, you know, a rough consensus of the group, so that if I wanted to ask something, I wouldn't just say, hey, Holly, you know, I'd like this 50-state survey. And
the answer will be no.
I'd like it by 9 a.m. Monday morning. And if I were to say something like that, you know, then I would hear some, you know, Leon, Robin, Ed, David say, you know, some version of WTF with perhaps more letters in it. And or if I propose something reasonable, somebody would say, sounds good to me, or they'd say, I agree, but I think we should, you know, add or subtract, or, you know, here's a refinement. And then, you know, we get kind of a green light out of that process. That can also happen, you know, as Holly mentioned, we have weekly calls scheduled of the client committee, and I think that this group, as was suggested in, I think, this afternoon's full meeting, should have at least weekly, if not biweekly, calls of present company to coordinate and move forward, and those kinds of assignment refinements could be worked out on the phone. But one way or the other, it's either worked out on the list or worked out on the phone, but I think, you know, no one person should unilaterally be giving assignments without, you know, the authority of the executive group. It'll get messy that way. So at the very least, should be able to represent honestly that you have the buy-in of a consensus of the executive sub-team before you go off to Holly or Greg or Rosemary or whomever and say, you know, this is something we think needs to happen. On a related note, on the mailing list note, I will note on the CWG side, we gave observer rights to anybody in the entire cross-community working group, which allows them to monitor the list without having to go to the archive, so they can see what's being discussed on the list in real time. They don't have posting privileges. And I think 30 or 40 people in the cross-community working group on the IANA transition took advantage of the observer rights there. I would suggest the same thing here, which kind of begs the question then of what is the difference between everybody else and the non-executive members of the legal sub-team. So I might suggest revisiting whether non-executive members of the legal sub-team can post to this list, as long as everybody knows who the executive committee members are. It might make sense to open up posting privileges to the entire legal sub-team. But I realize that, you know, adds complexities. You know, we may get more involved and perhaps more into the weeds on conversations, and stuff will come up. So that's it's a suggestion, but I can see both sides of the suggestion. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. I see David McCauley's had this up. David, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Lee, and I probably should have taken it down because Greg just covered what I wanted to say, but let me just say it, reiterate it briefly, and that is, I think it was Chris Despain that came up with the idea today on the meeting that there should be regular communication with outside counsel once a week at least, and I think it's a good idea that we touch base, even if it's a phone call that lasts 5 minutes. We have to be cautious on our side that we honor the transparency obligations that we have. But in the nature of a traffic management discussion or touching base, it would be good. This is going to be an effort that takes the form of peaks and valleys of intensive effort. And as both firms have just joined the group, you certainly probably have already figured out we're entering a peak. And we'll enter another one as another face-to-face happens, and just before Buenos Aires, it's going to be like that. And I think during those periods, at least, it would be good to touch base. Thank you, Leon.
Thanks, David. So it occurs to me that the solution for identifying formal advice requests, as opposed to having the mailing list confused as being a request for advice, we will, of course, be having, or hopefully we will be having, fruitful discussions through the mailing list. But when we reach a point in which we identify that we need precise legal advice, then I suggest that we draft a very small note in a, maybe a Word document or a PDF, and that document would be the instruction to get the legal advice. And that way we can give a very agile fluence to the conversation, and we can also take care of documenting each and every question that we will be handling to the lawyers. Do you agree with that method? Okay. So we got a working method here. And, well, with regards to calls, Chris Despain suggested twice a week. I think that's, for the time being, a little bit too much since we're all juggling with our schedules, and we have a lot of calls, everyone, of course. And I would suggest that we have one weekly call. That seems healthy. And the question would be, which day and which hour? As far as I can tell, most of the executive team is in a time zone that is compatible with being in the American continent. So I don't know who isn't in the American continent. You are not in the American continent, Sabina.
Yeah,
you are not. So I mean, we should definitely share the pain, of course. But I think we can find a slot, time, at least time slots, in which the pain won't be high for anyone. Just as
you're probably morning Pacific, afternoon East Coast. We can find for Europe. Probably would work for most people. Including,
yeah, I was
including the firms themselves.
I was thinking about exactly that time span. Maybe having our calls by, let's say, 8 Pacific would be 10.
Fuck you, TC.
Yes, please. Is the only time I understand.
Okay. So that would be.
Or
4
after the time difference.
No,
14 UTC, more or less.
We are UTC
plus 1.
Okay. Yeah, 14. From let's say 14-15 UTC, that would be a time slot that I think it would be suitable for most of us.
So what time is that
in 15 UTC would be 9 Central, 10 Eastern.
To 10 Eastern?
More or less. I mean,
we have the time zones changing. So.
Exactly. We're shifting time zones.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It'll be 4 to 5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, but more or less, let's say 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 8 Pacific, or 7 Pacific, somewhere around there. And but we'll try to fine-tune this.
So what days of the week? What day of the week are you looking at? Because you know we already have calls for the CWG set on a weekly basis. Just need to make sure we don't bump into that.
Okay, so I see a comment here from Greg Colvin. It says that if you want to be really precise about it, the legal request could be sequentially numbered in time. Sometimes we might get an oral request during a call, and we would summarize it in writing for you to assign a number to it. That can be done. I mean, it would help us have some sequential order on any requirements. Yes, Cheryl.
Thank you. And thank you for indulging me to make a comment there. As you may know, I'm a bit of a wiki fan in terms of archives. and I just wondered whether you would be recording the, and I do support the concept of a request in a auditable form of inverted commas paperwork, but if that could also be archived on the wiki and the response would then be able to be copied at a later date or when convenient to the wiki, it does give the observers and indeed anybody looking back from a future point in time a good tracking through what's happened, and I recommend that to you.
Okay, so I'm thinking that
just more work for staff.
Right.
I'm thinking that maybe a good day to call this weekly call could be Friday. Since we have
Friday
is
Sunday.
Huh?
Friday
and
Sunday.
Oh, I don't care.
Sorry.
I don't know.
It's Saturday, so
sure. Oh, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm not sorry.
That's difficult for me. I have a standing call.
Friday is difficult for you? Okay. So then we need to find a date that suits everyone here. So the reason for me to say Friday, which of course can be Thursday, is because we as co-chairs and rapporteurs have our prep meeting on Monday. So it would be great to have whatever legal advice comes in or whatever legal discussion arises before our prep meeting, so we can of course iron out the issues between the co-chairs and the rapporteurs. So we can then further discuss in our meetings on Tuesday and have our debrief on Wednesday.
How would Thursday be, Holly, for you?
So Thursday...
I just need to know, I'm trying to figure out when the CWG meeting is. If Greg tells me it's okay, we're okay. And Greg Shatton will know the answer to this.
Greg, do you have an answer for Holly?
Yes, it's at 1400 UTC on Thursdays, which is now 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time.
Yeah.
Okay, so and how long is your call scheduled?
1 hour.
1 hour.
I think it's an hour. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe going for 15 UTC, that would be a good answer. You'll hang up with the CWG and you'll immediately be locked into the CWG.
We love it.
Seamlessly.
It's a Thursday.
So, does everybody agree with this day and time? We're talking about Thursdays, 15 UTC.
Can you check the master calendar out?
I see Sam Eisner's note in the chat that ICANN staff have a standing call at 15 UTC on Thursday. So we need somebody to start the recording, do discussion notes. We'll be in trouble.
So, okay, so maybe then.
What happens on Wednesday?
So Sam, how long is that call scheduled for ICANN staff?
On Thursday?
On Thursday, yes.
Is
that what you
call?
No,
Sam. I don't know. What
It's between 1 to 2 hours, depending on the week.
Okay. So, could we push our European members? 1700? Would that work also for our Australian members?
Doesn't matter about Australian members. Happens tonight. Why should it?
So would 1700 work for our European?
Wednesdays be an alternative? Because I also see Robin's point that there are some working party two meetings on Thursday.
I think what Wednesday could work too. I mean, if everyone's okay with Wednesday.
Yeah, WP1 is going to be moving to Monday, so that after next week. I think Wednesday is not free, at least for accountability.
Okay, so maybe...
Like Wednesday.
Wednesday, just let me see, because I have, on Wednesday I have debrief calls with the coaches and rapporteurs.
Every one of the leadership teams has prep and debriefs. So there's this multiplication effect that happens as well.
Yeah, so our the brief call on Wednesday should set from 1600. But I guess we could do 1500 on Wednesdays. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes.
For those in the Adobe Connect room, does Wednesday 15 UTC work? Could you signal us with a green tick or at least with voicing it out? Okay, David says it works for him. Robin says works for her. I see green ticks from David and Sam Eisner as well. Okay, so the team from Adler and Colvin, are you able to join the call on Wednesday, 15 UTC?
They're typing.
Yes, so this is Greg Colvin. We can do 1500 UTC on Wednesdays. Now, I gather that when the rest of the world gets on daylight saving time, that'll be adjusted back an hour. Consequence.
Yeah, 15 UTC doesn't change.
Your time will change.
Your time changes, but UTC doesn't.
Exactly.
Okay. But the effective time in the continental U.S. Would be an hour earlier after this coming weekend. Is that correct? The next weekend.
No, we've already, Greg. This is Greg Shatton. We've already switched, so we're good until fall.
Yeah, I'm not sure about when time shifts in the different time zones, but the good thing about UTC and having it embedded into the calendar invite is that when you accept the invitation, it'll automatically go
figured out
the accurate slot in your calendar. So that would solve the confusion problem with time zones. Okay, so it's an agreement. Wednesdays, 15 UTC. Alice, could you please take note that we should, for one hour, hopefully less, because we're getting billed for each hour, so hopefully less. And please, could you send invites to both law firms as well as to the legal executive team, well, the legal sub team, because they might as well want to join the calls. So, to the general legal sub-team, please. And, David McCauley is asking, not tomorrow. No, definitely.
I was about to ask
that. No, we're beginning next week. We're beginning next week. Thank you for raising that.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for that. No, actually, I'll still be here tomorrow.
You will?
Well, I'll be here tomorrow.
Okay, so I'm mindful of the time. We've already passed the hour, and I would just want to go through an expected timeline. Both law firms have already had the chance to go through the scoping document, and as you could see, Mike, in yesterday's and today's meetings, we have an urgent need for at least initial legal advice. So my question, and I think that Greg Colvin already answered that to me via email, and I just want to put that on the record and double check with him, which would be the expected timelines for both of you to come back to us with initial feedback on the legal scoping document?
You tell us when you want it, we jump.
Tomorrow? No, I mean, reasonably.
So we have to go through the exercise with the other firm of deciding which ones are California law that they need to take a first stab at.
Yep.
Do they want us to review it? Do we want to coordinate? We're happy to split it up any way everybody thinks makes sense. You know, we've been looking at that document.
Uh-huh.
We've done work on that document already. If you told us you had to have something preliminarily, you know, tomorrow, we would do what we had to do, right, folks?
When we hear from Adler.
Yeah, Greg Colvin, could you please tell us or give us a hint as to when we could be expecting initial reply to the document. I know you told me via email that we would be able to expect that initial feedback by the end of this week. I just want to double check with you.
Yes, that's still good.
Okay, excellent. So, yes, for example, this is one of the situations in which I would ask to have a conversation between law firms, so you can divide the work.
And we've already looked at some of those questions for the other projects, so it might be a way to jumpstart it.
Yes. And I see a comment from Sam Eisner here to the firms that for cost purposes, please make sure that the attendance on the weekly calls is limited to those who are necessary for attendance. Okay?
From the legal side?
Yeah.
So what we do as a policy is we decide who's necessary from the legal side, and they're the people who attend and bill. We may have other lawyers listening in to keep informed, but we won't bill for their time if they're not necessary.
Okay. I see Ross has raised also that the exec team might want to make the determination on which questions go to which firm. I think that's fair enough. I think that on our side, we should make this exercise of categorizing the different questions that are so far included in our legal scoping document and tag them for either Adler or Sidley.
When do you think you could do that, though?
We should definitely need to have that ready tomorrow.
Okay, but tomorrow's Wednesday. The end of the week is Friday, so that.
Or I don't know if you guys from the legal sub team. I know that in America it's still daylight, and here in Istanbul we could have dinner discussing this. Mm-hmm. So if you're okay, we could go through that document now after we finish the call, and we can have some. Answers to the law firms, so
yeah.
We can categorize or tag the different questions. Would our friends in America would be okay with that?
Yes, that's fine, but in order for us to make full use of the time, Wednesday, Thursday, and to have it for you by Friday, we would need to know Wednesday, that is, after you've gone through it today, how you would split up the questions between our firms, so neither of us is... you know, wasting time working on the other's questions, and so that we can begin to coordinate our answers.
Okay, excellent, Greg. So let's set the time straight. We would be providing each law firm with the questions for them to answer tonight, Istanbul time, which is Tuesday night in Istanbul, Tuesday afternoon or evening in America, and we would expect the law firms to begin working on Wednesday so we can have an initial approach for Friday. Is that okay? Okay, excellent. So I see Robin says we could send the recording of the conversation we had at lunchtime. That was far more helpful than the written submission.
The question on the chat is whether we should send the Jones Day memo from Singapore to the firms. No.
I'm not sure. I've already read it.
I've read it.
It's public, but I think that should pollute.
Exactly.
Pollute? At what point?
Yeah, I mean...
There's a reason we're getting independent legal advice.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean... It's of course, as Cheryl said, it's a public document. You can go through it if you want, but of course, our intent would be for you to not go through the document before providing your initial advice, so we can have fair differences between the different documents. Because I feel that if you go through the Jones Day document before providing us the legal advice, then your answers might be directed or biased. Because
even unintentionally.
Yeah, exactly. So I would advise that you provide us with the initial advice without going through the Jones Day document, if we all agree on that. Are we in agreement with that?
I've read it already. I'm not worried about being tainted by the Jones Day advice.
Okay. Excellent. Good. Okay, so is there any other business that anyone here wants to raise? Is there anything that I'm missing or that needs clarification? Yes, Ed?
No.
Okay. I see no one in the Adobe Connect raising their hand. Okay, I see Steve Cadini signaling that he doesn't seem to be affected by, his independence is not affected by any other firm's advice, which is fair enough. And, okay, so I don't think that there's anything else to raise in this call. So I'd like to thank you all for your time. We will be providing each law firm with the corresponding questions shortly. And by shortly, I mean in the next 2 or 3 hours at the most. And we look forward to having a very fruitful interaction with you. And I thank everyone on the Adobe Connect. And safe travels for those who are catching up with us in Istanbul. Safe travels to those that are leaving back to the U.S. tomorrow. And this call is now adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.